Today's episode is 6 steps to healthier aging backed by science. I'm Dr. Amy Shah, and welcome to another episode of Save Yourself with Dr. Amy Shah. I'm so grateful for you. I'm just getting started on this podcast journey, and so far it's been amazing. The feedback has been so great, and I wanted to thank everyone who's listening, commenting. We're going to start shouting out some comments, reviews on Apple, on Spotify, on YouTube. So thank you so much for your support. And the reason I do this is to give you information at no cost to you in a way that's science-backed, but also nutrition and clinical-backed, meaning like from my experience, from my views as I've gotten older, and through my experience as a physician and a nutritionist and as a mom and a consumer. So thank you again for being here. Today, we're really going to go into the 6 steps that are backed by science. If you did nothing else, you would do these 6 steps. And the crazy thing is that some of these steps I didn't even know until late into my career. And I think most people don't know some of these steps. In fact, the first one is something that I didn't really know in detail. I think most people get this wrong. So before we get into it, I wanted to thank my first sponsor for the podcast, which is Truly Nutrition. So if you go to trulynutrition.com and you use the code DrShah50, and we'll put it in the show notes, you can get the wellness shot for 50% off, which is amazing because I crave that stuff. It's so delicious. People use it as a detox, but it's really the turmeric, the ginger, the black pepper. It has just a little hint of spiciness. It's a perfect sweetness. You can use it as a shot or add it to water and have it as a drink. I brought it once to a party and everybody loved it. We had it kind of as the pre-party drink for those people who were going to partake in other ones. They kept going. And for me, I've really, really cut down on, I don't even know if I've had more than a few drinks this entire year, but we'll get into that more in today's episode. So we're going to be talking about the 6 science-backed steps. And here's the thing. We could be doing 1,000 things with our lives, right? To make our hormones happier, our guts happier, our brains happier, and help us live longer. But there's only a few things that are actually backed by science. So maybe if you got these 6 things right, and then you can add on other things if you'd like, but get these 6 things right. So number one is getting more movement. Now, you might say, oh yeah, of course I know that, Dr. Shah, like get more exercise. No, I'm talking about just move more. What does that mean? Get more steps where, you know, it's not even considered exercise. It's called non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So they found that as people get older, they seem to move less. They seem to walk less. Maybe it's just our lives are different. It's more stressful, more sedentary. There's more responsibilities, more driving. I know for me, it's a lot more driving. So you may not be moving as much. So how much is this affecting us? Well, the data says that for every hour that you're sitting, you're raising your risk for premature death by 5%. So think about it. If you're sitting for 5 hours, that's a 25% increase. And if you're sitting for 10 hours, that's a 50% increase in premature death. That's crazy. That means that every hour that you are sitting, you're increasing your risk of death prematurely, and you can be doing something about it. So what I would recommend is getting up every hour, even if you have a sedentary job. Yes, you can counteract some of this sitting by doing activity every day, but really 1 hour of activity is not enough in a long 8 to 10 hour sedentary day. So you may want to actually exercise for 1 hour, but also add more steps to your day. For example, I recommend to everyone I work with to do a 10,000 step day if they can, or equivalent of 10,000 steps. And I'll tell you how to do the equivalents. It's about 2,500 steps for each 10 minutes of moderate cycling or swimming or movement, dancing, whatever it is, and get up to that 10 to 12,000 steps every single day in addition to your workout. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's doable, and I do it every single day. You don't have to work out at the gym every single day, but you do have to get your steps every single day. So if you work out at the gym between 3 and 5 days a week, and then you get your 10,000 steps every day, no matter what, you're going to really lower that risk of death. It's not easy, and you can moderate it the way, you know, if you're walking only 2,000 steps, don't go all the way up to 10,000 on the first day. Go to 3,000, 5,000, and then move up from there. But this is something you can easily do to improve your health. And people think that health starts in the gym. No, it starts outside the gym. It's in nature. It's walking. It's parking a little farther. It's moving around, you know, pacing, being on the phone and walking. These are all great ways to decrease your premature risk of death. Number two, prioritize and improve your sleep quality. Now, you knew I was going to talk about sleep when it's talking about fundamental health care, things that you can do to improve your life, because sleep is a foundational part of our health. But most people don't realize that 6 hours is not enough. In fact, losing 1 to 2 hours of sleep every night is enough to impair your brain and body function significantly. And 6 hours a night is enough to impair your blood glucose, your cravings, your energy levels, your brain function, your gut health, and so much more. So when we're talking about getting enough sleep, I know I'm talking to a group of people who may have trouble sleeping themselves. So sometimes it's like, you know, you're prioritizing sleep, but you're not able to sleep. So there's a few things that I will recommend to you, but I will say that one thing is take the pressure off. Give yourself a goal of 4 nights of good sleep. If you can get 4 nights of sleep, 7 to 9 hours, or whatever your sleep need is, that's the goal. How do you know your sleep need? Go to sleep on a weekend at a normal hour and then wake up without an alarm and see how many hours of sleep you need. Now, if you are super sleep deprived for the entire week, it's going to be hard because you're probably going to oversleep, but you want to do this a couple of times to really kind of understand, hey, am I more on the 7 hour mark or am I more on the 9 hour mark, right? So because if you're someone who needs 8.5 or 9 hours of sleep and you're chronically getting 6, that is a huge hit to your health. So you want to figure out how much sleep you need and get that at least 4 nights a week. When we talk about how to boost the immune system, how to reduce your risk of diabetes, of obesity, and of depression, sleep is one of the most foundational tools. It also lowers your risk of premature death. So when we're talking about foundational strategies, it's sleep. If you're having trouble falling asleep, try the 10-3-2-1-0 method. That means 10 hours before you're going to sleep, no caffeine. Okay. This means for a lot of us, it's going to, you know, you can't have any caffeine past 10 or 11 in the morning. So your morning and mid-morning cups of caffeine is going to be the last. And then 3 hours before bed, you're not eating anything. So that's really hard for everyone. Sometimes if you can do 2 hours, but if you could do 3, you know, I'm all about the eating an early dinner. And so if you eat dinner at 6 or 7, you should have about 3 hours without food before bed. The number two is 2 hours of no work before bed. So no stimulating phone calls, no checking your email, no working on, you know, that last minute assignment. You really want to stop work, blue lights, all of that 2 hours before bed. The number one is 1 hour before bed, you want to shut off all the devices. So the phone, if you can put it in the other room, the computer, the YouTube, the Netflix, the Instagram, all of that stuff. Now, this is the hardest thing to do. If you can do 1 hour or even half an hour before bed, this is going to really improve your sleep quality. And then the zero is the number of times you hit snooze in the morning. Why do you not want to hit snooze in the morning? Because when you hit snooze, okay, what happens is when you fall back asleep, you get back into that deep REM and non-REM sleep, you start a sleep cycle. And a sleep cycle is 45 minutes. And so when you get woken up again, you're even more groggy than the first time because you got woken up in the middle of a sleep cycle the first time, got woken up in the middle of a sleep cycle the second time, and now you wake up and you're super, super groggy for the rest of your day. So you really want to try to wake up as soon as your alarm hits. And ideally, you know, if you're really into sleep like I am, then you try to do it so that you're going to bed in a fashion where you're going to naturally wake up before your alarm goes off. I hate waking up to an alarm. So what I try to do is time my bedtime so that I'm not, you know, sleeping past my alarm. I'm waking up before my alarm, and my alarm is just like an oh crap alarm in case I overslept and, you know, in emergency situations. And then, you know, melatonin low dose can help. Chamomile can help. Valerian root can help. Magnesium glycinate can help. and having, you know, a warm tea before bed can help. These are all strategies that you can use to get a better night's sleep. If you're someone who wakes up in the middle of the night between 2 and 4, that means your stress levels are out of control, and it's something that you can stop during the day. For example, if I really disconnect from work about 2 hours before bed, I'm able to sleep through the night much better than if I'm thinking about it all the way till my eyes close. So that's number two. Let's move on to number three. Fundamental step number three, nature heals. Now, you know I'm all about nature. I talk about nature all the time. I had no idea, though, the beneficial effects on nature on the gut microbiome, on depression rates, on our physical health, on the mind-gut connection. It is so essential also for circadian rhythms. Like if you have a chance, like I am right now, anything, spending time outside can heal you in ways we don't even really understand yet. We know that the group of adults between 35 and 50 are the most depressed. And we know they're also the ones that spend the most time indoors. And what we need to do is our kids and our middle-aged adults and our older adults, we need to get them out into nature for at least 20 minutes a day. This is something that can be transformative to your mood and your health. You won't believe it, but being in nature actually helps your gut bacteria. So you know I talk about that gut-brain connection all the time. But when you are in nature, you are exposed to gut bacteria that you don't even know. They're in trees, they're in grass, they're in all over the place, and they are repopulating your gut in a way that's going to be very beneficial for your gut-brain connection. Also, most of the time when you're outside, you're moving more than if you were on a couch watching TV, for example. So taking a walk, doing a hike, even if you're sitting and standing, but you're probably more active than you would be indoors. I'm always trying to take everything outdoors as much as possible. We know that the brain loves nature. It loves nature sounds. We've seen studies that show that nature sounds actually calm the brain. And we love natural light. Natural light tells our brain what time of day it is, and we are able to recalibrate all our functions, our hormonal functions, our gut functions, and our brain functions in ways to improve health, to improve fitness, and to improve happiness. Number four, fiber is a power for your gut. We talk all the time about that gut-brain connection, how it can help your hormones, it can help your mood, it can help the way you look. But we never talk about what are the fundamental things you should be doing for it. Fiber is something you can do, you can actively do to improve your health in ways that, again, we're just starting to understand through the science. Most 95% of people are not getting enough fiber. In fact, they're getting, you know, less than 20 grams, which is measly. I want you to get at least 30 grams, if not 35 grams a day. So how is it that you can get that much fiber in a day? It's easy, actually, because all vegetables and fruits, nuts and seeds, beans, even whole grains, all have fiber. So as long as you're not eating ultra-processed snacks from the vending machine or the drive-thru, you are getting fiber. So in the breakfast, you can have nuts and berries and seeds, and you can have vegetables as a snack for your lunch. You can have a salad. You can have grains like oats. And these are all things that are going to help your gut become stronger. Because what happens is fiber gets into your lower colon, into your intestines, where it's fermented, okay? And the bacteria create short-chain fatty acids. And these short-chain fatty acids go all the way throughout your body and calm inflammation. There is nothing in the world that can mimic the short-chain fatty acids that gut bacteria make. If you're aiming for 30 grams of fiber a day or more, start in the morning. Start with some nuts. Start to have some berries. Start to have some vegetables in your day from the morning, afternoon, and evening. Because listen, although fiber is the main reason I'm telling you to do this, having produce, having real foods also gives you the micronutrients, also gives you the polyphenols, also gives you the vitamins and minerals that we're not getting from the processed packaged foods. So this is more reason to get more fiber. The big take home for fiber, the statistic changed it all for me, is that for every 10 gram increase of fiber in your diet, you get a 10% decrease in all-cause mortality. If that isn't a reason to increase your fiber, I don't know what is. Number five, strength training is your friend. So we talk about, I love this quote, you rather be the oldest person in the weight room than the youngest person in the nursing home. And that quote keeps reminding me that as we get older, we need to build strength. Also flexibility, but strength too. So strength and flexibility will keep you injury free. It will keep you from becoming someone who falls, who has osteoporosis. These are all really high risk factors for death as you get older, right? So premature risk of death really, really increases as your muscle strength decreases. So if you think about it, we're losing 3 to 10% of our muscle mass every decade until women get into menopause. When you get into menopause, that increases by 10 times. You get 3% decrease of muscle mass every single year if you're not counteracting it with muscle training. So what I mean by resistance training doesn't always mean big, heavy weights. It means pushing and pulling. Push-ups and pull-ups, and you can be, you know, lifting weights that are just hard for you. So what that means is when you're getting to the number 8, 9, and 10 of the set, it is heavy. That is how you know that you're actually going to be building strength. It's a simple way to improve your strength at the gym. So you don't necessarily need the gym. Like I said, it could be push, pull, anything. And you could be pushing, you know, a sled, you could be pushing outside the gym, but it does need to be 2 to 3 times a week. And it does need to be heavy enough for you that it stimulates muscle growth. Because if you're not counteracting that muscle loss, you are losing 3% every single year when you're getting into that menopausal transition. You want to support that with enough protein, and you want to make sure you're doing enough functional stretching with it because you want to maintain your flexibility. So one of the things, you know, easy ways to do this is the sit to stand test, which I have on my social media, which means that you can get up from a sitting position without using your hands, one from a chair, and then the advanced one is from the ground. If you can get up from a seated position on the ground to standing without using your knees, elbows, hands. That's kind of the big, big test, and you can kind of work up to that. Strength is essential as we age. It's going to help you look better, feel better, and save you from the falls that are so common as we get older. And number six, the final thing, and maybe the thing that I really didn't understand until after I got out of my medical training, is that connection is crucial. Connection can lower your risk of death by 50%. What does that even mean? This means that as we get older, it's essential that we have social contacts. It's really essential in all ages of life. So we know that adolescents and teens really thrive in their mental health when they have more social connections. We also know that disease risk, mental health disease especially, goes down significantly when you have social connections. In the Middle Ages, it seems like it's not about having more connections, it's having more meaningful connections. Who can you talk to when you feel stressed? Who can you talk to when you have good news to share or bad news to share? In the Middle Ages, it definitely counts the quality of your relationships. And then as you get older, in older age, it's also just about the people that know that you exist. Meaning, like, do you live in a neighborhood that people know if you haven't been out in a few days? Do you have a exercise class that people notice if you haven't been there? Are you part of a club where people know that you're supposed to be there every day? So these kind of strategies of actually building a purpose, building a community, building connection in person, as well as, you know, online is crucial. Some people think that, you know, online connection is enough. It is not enough. You also need that in-person contact to improve your length of life. So before I end today, I wanted to thank you again so much for listening. I wanted to also let you know that we have an awesome new product lineup on amymdwellness.com. So what we've actually launched is the travel packs for the chai latte. So chai latte is our sugar-free coconut milk-based chai that has all the benefits, all the spices, all the gut healing properties without any of the sugar or the additives and preservatives. And we finally got some stick packs, the travel packs that people love. They're single packs so that you can take it with you when you travel. And because it's just launching, we, if you go to the show notes, you can see the intro special. It's $3 for $5, and you get a free guide with it, our new guide that we are publishing. So make sure you check that out in the show notes. It's also on amymdwellness.com. So I wanted to end today by thanking you. If you do nothing else, but you do these six fundamental strategies that are backed by science, this is going to help you age better. It's going to help you live better. It's going to help you look better. It's going to help you be happier for many, many years. I know you could be doing a million things, but start with the 6 foundational steps. I'm Dr. Amy Shah. Thank you so much for watching. Stay tuned for next time.